With the scriptures open before us, let's just ask the Lord to speak to us through his word in these next few minutes. Let's pray. Oh, blessed Father, we do thank you today for all your mercies to us. And Father, we thank you that you are still speaking to souls, that you are doing that supernatural work to take us from darkness to light and the power of Satan unto God. We thank you, Father, that some of us in very quiet, steady ways that we can't even point to a particular hour or time that you are bringing souls to Christ. Others, Father, through very cataclysmic, life-shaping and changing instantaneous circumstances. And Father, but either way, we thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ is still the Savior from sin. And we thank you for the work of grace that he is doing in our hearts. And now we ask you, Father, that we will, as we open your word and look at baptism and what it signifies, that, Father, this will sink deeply into our hearts and guide us for the days ahead, but especially these who today are being baptized in Jesus' name. And we ask all this in our Savior's name. Amen. Amen. When somebody comes forward to request to be baptized, and over a period of weeks back in the spring, we announced this, and there were various ones who came. And when they come forward, I meet with them. I ask them a number of questions to make sure they have a true understanding of the gospel of their salvation. And then I talk to them about the fact that the Lord has ordained baptism as one of the two signs and seals of their salvation. These are signs and seals. We had two in the Old Testament. We have two in the New Testament. The Lord's Supper is the other one other than baptism in the New Testament. But unlike the Lord's Supper, which we do repeatedly, monthly here, baptism is a once-in-a-lifetime event. And Jesus has ordained it to have tremendous lifelong significance and to be a true means of grace. And what we mean by means of grace is the Lord shows up. In other words, he takes that and he meets them as they obey him in baptism. And he ministers to them and pours out grace upon them and prepares them to serve him and to follow him in their lives. And so, you know, this is something the Lord uses to strengthen, to shape them, to know him, to love him, and to serve him the rest of their days. And because it's that important, I want them to know what the Word of God emphasizes, what it teaches us about exactly what they are doing and what they are saying to everyone when they are baptized. So I give them a sheet that is entitled, What I Am Saying When I'm Baptized. It takes them through four passages of Scripture that touch on baptism and that teach us the significance of baptism for every believer. So this morning, I want to go through those passages with all of us so that first we'll know exactly what this act of obedience means to each of these nine candidates, what they are signifying by it, what they are saying by it. And like I said, all of these were given this sheet, and I told them, you know, no matter how much time between now and when you are baptized, I want you to meditate on this. I want you to think about this. I want you to pray about it. I give them some things that, you know, are clear understandings of what the passage is saying, but then I tell them, meditate on them. Ask the Lord to make it so full in your heart that you see more of what you are saying when you are baptized. And so I want to go through these passages for their benefit, for our benefit, so we'll know what they are saying, but also so that we'll have a great understanding of just what's at the very foundation of salvation, what it means to be in Christ, and therefore what is symbolized by our baptism. Well, the first of these passages is right here in Acts 22, and I'd like to be able to read all the surrounding context because the Apostle Paul is giving his testimony here, but we don't really have time to do that. So we'll read just verse 16. And in verse 16, it is said to Paul this, "And now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." So the person who is being baptized is saying, when they are baptized, the following things. Number one, they are saying, my sins, past and present and future, are all washed away by God's cleansing agent, the blood of Jesus Christ. These sins are washed by his sacrifice, washed by his blood. So therefore, they can say, I am calling on the name of the Lord, we read here. I am trusting in Jesus Christ and him alone for the cleansing of my sins, to be clean in the sight of the living God, to be accepted by the Father because he doesn't see anything over which he wouldn't accept me. Because my sins are forgiven, they are gone. They're not winked at, they're not swept under the carpet. They are looked at and paid for by nothing less than the blood of God the Son. And so these candidates are saying, I am trusting Jesus and him alone. It's not what I've done. It's not what I promised to do. It has everything to do with who he is, and I am trusting him. But it is also saying, and I think it's significant, these words, calling on the name of the Lord. These candidates are saying, from now on, I call on the name of Jesus for everything. I am totally, I am happily dependent on him. You know, what the Apostle Paul had to learn, and here's a man whose bread and butter, as it were, was obedience to the law, who counted himself a Pharisee, who said, as touching the law, when he's giving his testimony in Philippians, he says, I was blameless. And what does he learn? I mean, he learns it, and he says it in that testimony in Philippians, those things that were gained to me, what I took to be my obedience, and therefore I'm good with God. He said, I count it trash now. I throw it all away, and I lean only on who Jesus is and what he has done for me. I am looking at him. I am loving him. I am trusting him because he is all my righteousness. I don't have any. And therefore, I don't have to look and calculate my sins and my obedience. I look at Jesus Christ and I say, he's everything I need. And so I call on him for everything because he's my righteousness and he's my Lord. Now, the second passage takes us to Galatians chapter 3. So if you can turn over there, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27. we get more light on baptism and what we are saying in baptism. So Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27 says this, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now, not long ago, we were actually in this book of Galatians, and you may remember when we went through this, we saw that those words put on Christ mean literally clothed with Christ. So what are these candidates saying? They are saying, I am now clothed with Christ in the sight of God and man. I'm clothed with him. They are saying, Jesus has become my true identity and nothing else. He is who I am. He is now my everything. They are saying, the Father now sees me as he sees his son Jesus. Now, just as an aside, that makes all the difference in the world. You come to the Lord in prayer and you're asking him to work in your life, to meet your needs. And you come and you take stock of how you've done your last few days. And you think, I don't deserve any answers to prayer. The gospel wipes all that out. The gospel says, no, I am coming. And when he sees Jesus, he sees me. When he sees me, he sees Jesus. He's all my deserving. So I'm asking because he deserves. And therefore, because he deserves and I'm united to him, I deserve. So the Father now sees me as he sees his son Jesus. I'm in union with Christ. And then one more thing that I think is worth emphasizing, and that is this. These are saying, as close as my clothes are to my skin, so is Jesus close to me and me to him. I am clothed with Christ. Our identities are united together, and he is now who I am. He is how I'm identified. All right, the third passage takes us then to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So back a few pages, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. For as by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. All right, so here is a passage by which these who are coming to be baptized today are saying, I am now part of the body of Jesus Christ, and He's my head. I'm part of His body. I have a different identity now, and I am part of the body of Christ. He is the head. He's made Himself responsible for my welfare in every sense of the word, and now I am one of His own. Because that's so, I am united to all other members of His body. They are now my brothers and sisters. And Jesus tells me that we are to be known by our love one for another. And folks, that's a precious thing. We all have personalities, don't we? And we like certain things and we don't like certain other things. And, you know, my parents always used to say to me when I was growing up, there's no accounting for taste. You know, why somebody likes this and somebody else doesn't. There's no accounting for that. And so there's so much difference and variance in how we humans think and how we act and, you know, whether we're neat nuts or whether we're utter slobs, you know, whatever comes natural to us. There are all kinds of differences. But in Jesus Christ, that is just made a precious thing, a precious diversity. And all the gifts this passage goes on to teach us are spread out into the body. And so that you have all of these differences benefiting everybody, being used for everybody. And so Jesus tells us we're known by our love one for another. And then one other thing from this passage, the Holy Spirit is the one who's done this. He's the one who's taken the finished work of Christ and made it ours. The Holy Spirit will minister Jesus and His truth to me. He will apply Christ's finished work to me. The Holy Spirit has come into me to make Jesus' presence and power real to me. We are not alone. We are not on this on our own. And I don't know about you, but there have been plenty of chapters of my spiritual walk where I feel like giving up. You know, things not going well for a period of time. I'm so disgusted and dissatisfied with myself. But why am I still here today? Because the Holy Spirit is still taking the Lord Jesus and putting Him in front of me. The Holy Spirit is giving me course corrections all along the way and restoring my perspective to say, it's not about you. It's about Him. It's not up to you. It's not what you do or what your performance has been. It's Him. Look to Him. The Father loves you. The Father is for you. And even though this road is a very bumpy one, it ends in glory. It ends with Jesus Christ and you together in heaven. And so this whole picture here is just the picture of a body that Jesus is shepherding by His Spirit safely all the way to glory. Well, finally, the last passage as a little longer one, if you'll turn back a little bit to Romans. Romans chapter 6. And often at baptismal services, you have this passage read because in many ways it gives a picture that is precious to see and to consider when we are baptized. So Romans chapter 6. And let me read the first 11 verses. And then we will kind of step back from it and see what this passage is saying. Romans 6 and verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, this passage boils down to saying two things have happened through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And because we're united to Christ by faith in him, these things have happened to us. They're pictured in our baptism. What two things? We've died to sin on the one hand, we are alive to God on the other. So what these people are saying today as they are baptized is, my sins, the guilt of them, and the power of them were crucified with Jesus Christ. I am therefore dead to sin. There's nothing good that sin can offer me. Nothing it has for me. Jesus gives me power to overcome it. Jesus gives me power to live and to love and live for better. Better things are there for me as I seek him and walk with him. They are also saying, as one truly born again, I'm alive to God through Jesus. And they are saying, since I have been raised with him in newness of life, then I commit my life to worship, trust, enjoy, and live for Jesus. Now, those four passages, you put all that together, and these candidates are saying quite a lot. And that's why I say baptism has so much significance, so much power, because it says so much. But the bottom line, the sum of it is this. These are saying, Jesus has saved me. He has cleansed me from all my sin. He has set me free from the power of my sin. He is now my life, my identity, my purpose for living. And since he loved me enough to live and die for me, I can trust him with everything in my life, knowing he will always and only do me good all my days. Jesus is now everything to me.